This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Our clubhouse studios right here on 13th and Central. In the house, Brad Richardson and, of course, Ray Kennedy, Couple Ray, Ben Botham, and myself. The stream team, as we talk about, launching the stream. Sports-only radio and podcast channel, which will be coming to a radio or a streaming platform near you very shortly. And nice little short conversation with Wayne Hogan talking about kind of a comical story. As he did you hear his story? He was a 26. I didn't think you were paying attention. 26-year-old. Stay focused. 26-year-old SID, first job, big game in Tallahassee, and his responsibility is to take these 60 media people to. He had a secret way to get to the press room, and he's taking it to him. And he gets there, and somebody had padlocked the gate. Unfortunately, it was pouring down rain, so here's 60 media people just ready to freaking kill him. And that was one of his storm stories, and memorable. Right now, though, speaking of storm stories, Friday night, of course, a washout in high school football in Pinellas, Hillsborough, across the state of Florida. And a lot of Monday night games going to take place right now. And he's our expert in the world of high school sports. He's Brad Richardson and our Body Armor Prep Connection. Let's go over the games that people can look forward to getting scores from on Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Friday, I mean, everyone was scrambling to figure out what they were going to do, when they were going to play and all. And it was all over the place. Al Benn in Pinellas County, the athletic director, figured everything out. But let's just go over them real quick. Monday night, it's going to be Calvary versus Berkeley Prep at 6:30.
Big game.
Yeah, and then the rest are going to be all at 7 p.m. Clearwater versus Dunedin, Countryside versus Largo, Bogey versus Lakewood, East Lake versus Steinbrenner, and Northeast versus St. Pete. And, of course, the one I can't wait to see, and hopefully I'm going to get a chance to go, the rivalry game itself, Seminole versus Osceola. And then there's going to be a few games on Tuesday, Hollins versus Pinellas Park, Tarpon versus Springs versus Enclote, and CCC Carrollwood Day.
You know, I talked to several coaches yesterday via text that we're going to come on the air. And, you know, I'm sure, Ray Kennedy, you played high school football growing up in the area. You played baseball. I mean, it's just, the elements like this are just part of the world of living in Florida and rescheduling. And getting yourself jacked up. I mean, you're excited about playing on a Friday night, and all of a sudden, we're not now. And I do know this. Coaches had to get approval yesterday at the last minute to even hold practices today.
Absolutely, yeah. Saturday, of course, yeah, there's always big day Saturday. Some of them had to almost reschedule to Sunday and all, but yeah, because everything was closed down and there was a ton of regulations that go into it, as you just said. They had to finally know, obviously, who was okay players-wise, who still had power and all. If even the school and the locker rooms there had power, it's all about ventilation, but they were able to get everything approved. I know Seminole was practicing today and all that.
So. Oh, were they?
Yeah.
All right. You have any memory of of having to battle the elements as the towel boy?
Towel boy.
Ooh. Hey, whoa.
You look like you're falling asleep over there. I'm trying to get a response. No, towel boy.
Oh, waited.
He called me towel boy.
I was a junior in high school in 85 with Elena, and that was one of the things, you know, because, you know, football season, it goes so fast. It's the beginning of the year, you know, and Elena kept us pretty much off the books for almost 2 weeks.
Was that your girlfriend or was that a hurricane?
Oh, she both.
I mean, I remember in high school, I mean, all right, I'm going to embarrass myself on air. I was in the marching band, but I remember in 20.
That's not embarrassing.
Hey.
Not at all.
I was a musician. But anyway, I remember 2004 when we had the three come through. You had Charlie. I mean, it was three in a row. three in a row hurricanes. I mean, the whole rescheduling they had to do that year was absolutely horrendous. It was just game after game after game, all these rescheduling. Some of them were away games, but it was absolutely crazy.
Well, Brad, I'm glad you said that, because that's the thing is that we take it for granted. The kids are so used to their schedules with school and all of us with evacuation in some cases. But there's so many logistics to work out. And that's why I think in this case, they got it turned around. We're ready to get it on Monday. Only three-day turnaround. So fortunately, they didn't have to get in too much out of their schedule, but good stuff.
But the other thing, too, you have to take into account is all those bye weeks. You know, if you sit there and tell a team they have to play on a bye week, that's not really a good idea.
Well, and I know two teams as an example. And you know as well as I do, but I've covered high school sports all these years. And I'm sure you know this as well, Ray. This is a world in Pinellas County and in Hillsborough of the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, we had King over from Tampa a few weeks ago. He has 17 kids on their team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really close with the coach at Boca Ciega. He lost his starting quarterback, who they had, you know, all kinds of high expectations. They didn't really have anybody, and it's proven. And unfortunately, it's not going to be a great outcome against Lakewood on Monday. But the thing I'm talking about, buys. Those are dates so they can rest, especially when you don't have next man in capability like the Lakewoods do or the power conferences. They got 2-3 kids waiting. You know, they want to get on the field. They don't have anybody.
Yeah.
They're going two ways. So the buys are a big factor, Brad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they all need that rest. I mean, what they all put their bodies through during the week, not just in practices, but also during those Friday night games, as you said, they're hyped up. They're ready to go in there, ready just to kick butt. And when that is taken away from them, that just wears them out. That just takes their
And another thing, fellas, you got to take into consideration with a lot of the public schools, the economic disparity. And these families don't have friends. They're the families using shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's uprooting, you know, a kid. And they still, you know, they didn't go to school all last week, but they'll start going to school on Monday, hopefully, Tuesday. But then to also focus on sports and not knowing where you're going to, you know, lay your head down at night. Tough times for all these schools. And God bless the coaches and the support people and the families that are behind these kids, because, you know, the show must go on and the kids want to play. But the logistics is an issue.
Well, I think, too, the other thing, especially with what's going on at Fort Myers, I mean, football right now is the last thing, obviously, on a lot of their minds. But they do need that distraction. They need to kind of just get away and have a camaraderie. Once everything calms down and gets settled out, they do need that just to get away and have a little bit of a distraction to get a little bit back to normalcy.
I wonder how the Minnesota Twins complex came through this, because obviously you know this. I know you do. Well, all of us do. That's where they have the state baseball championships.
Correct, yes.
And I wonder if that's a stadium, because it doesn't sound like a whole lot of things didn't sustain some semblance of a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, I didn't see anything. Maybe I'll look.
Well, if it's anything like the Rays spring training, it's not looking good. The Rays spring training was absolutely destroyed. Mm-hmm. They're not even sure if they'll be able to hold spring training there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Next year,
we saw the pictures of it. The whole front entrance of it was destroyed with the awnings and everything all turn up. It looked terrible.
Time to get Al Lang ready again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which I would love. And I know you would love growing up here.
Oh, I remember going to Al Lang for some games.
Yeah, even the Iowa one. Every time I came down here. When the Devil Rays actually were playing there initially.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
cool spot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I still remember. I remember going to one. It was St. Pete and a Seminole game back a long time ago. And I remember watching it there. It's an amazing stadium. I mean, just absolutely beautiful.
Well, right, that's where I would like to see the new stadium built.
Still trying.
Yeah. But you know, you talk about logistics. You talk about landmass capabilities, parking. I wanted to see the, you know, McCovey Cove options, you know, a bunch of goofballs like probably us out in kayaks.
waiting for that home run to go in there.
Waiting for Judge. Can you imagine?
Oh.
Aaron Judge was going for the home run, and they're playing the Yankees, and you're out there on kayaks waiting for the shot like they did with Barry Bonds. That ball probably floated. Had cork and steroids.
And it's on a Friday night, so it's on Apple TV. So the Yankees fans can't watch it back in New York unless they have the
BS.
Apple.
What BS? My buddy just brought that up. He wanted me to bring that up. On Apple TV.
See, that's terrible. I can't stand those. Just like the Thursday night football over on Amazon. oh my God, the quality sucks, and it's just.
Here's the thing: people don't want to pay the NFL package on, you know, Bright House, Spectrum, excuse me, and then also DirecTV. Some people just say, "Hey, this is not my budget. I just don't want to spend the money. This is just another side option." If you're willing to sit there and say, "You know what? I don't care. You know, I'd rather watch this in a certain quality. Just watch the game, enjoy the game the best I can. Go for it." But yeah, as you said, you know. The quality.
It looks like a delayed broadcast. Yes. You know, I have Roku in one room, and then I have Fire Stick in the other. Mm-hmm. So I get the Amazon deal, which I didn't even know how the hell to work it at first.
Like, well, see, my quality stinks because I'm using AOL Minutes.
Wow. So, you know, whoa, in the middle of the game, I got to run out and get
another disc because I want to see the second half.
Yeah, that's archaic.
Neighbors told me they saw Ray up on top of his roof talking down to Tristan, his son. All right. What about right now?
How's it look now, Tristan? Is it up and running? Do we have the solar dishes ready? Do we have all that ready to go?
Yeah.
Are we getting enough energy?
Yeah. The Kennedy family, they're out there. He's got aluminum foil on it.
The bunny ears.
Yeah.
What would you two know about it? I lived through those years.
Hey, I had bunny ears on my TV a long time ago, back when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Well, I had cable in my room.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with the Stream Team as we're having a little bit of fun down here on a Ferg's football Saturday afternoon, jam-packed 95 televisions. Of course, tomorrow night, it will be the Bucks watch party, and this place will be absolutely jam-packed. In fact, you got to keep in mind that some of these people still don't have power. They'll be looking for a place like Ferg's to watch the Bucks and the Chiefs. And I want your opinion after we get done, Bradley here. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this point in the season. Anything surprise you?
I mean, really, right now, some of the teams that have played. It's been kind of, when I look at it, some teams that are very strong have been kind of just playing a lot of simple teams. I mean, certain district teams and all. What I'm waiting to see is really a true competitor come up against these teams. I mean, you know, you take Lakewood. Lakewood's been playing a lot of these out-of-county teams. They're really competitive. They're obviously giving them a run for their money. You know, a lot of them, I mean, you're looking at right now. I mean, like I said, in the beginning of the season, you're looking at Anthony Calandra of Lakewood. I love, watching his stats. I love just watching him throw the ball down the field. He's definitely one to keep watching for sure. In some of the standings right now, you look at Largo. Largo is actually 4-0 in their district. I mean, regardless of district teams, they are the best in 3M District 7 right now. Calvary, of course, is leading 2M District 7 as well. St. Pete, believe it or not, is leading 3-1. That's their record. 3M District 8, they're leading it. And the other thing with Lakewood, too, this is according to Max Preps. Out of 527 teams in the state of Florida, according to Max Preps, they're ranked number 45 in the entire state. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but it's pretty good. You know, you take a lot of our Hillsborough County teams. You know, Tampa Tech ranked number 15, Jesuit number 18. The Tampa Bay area does have good representation, but that's one of the things. And then, one of the games actually coming up soon. Is looking at Eastlake. Eastlake, of course, right now has a 4-1 record over Palm Harbor. Palm Harbor's actually kind of surprised me this season. They actually, when they played Seminole, they actually did pretty good. Eastlake's always a powerhouse and all. And then, one to look at, CCC. CCC is always a powerhouse. Of course, they're 4-1 in 1M District 3. So with everything being said, we're getting ready to be in the middle of the season. I really want to start seeing a true competitive nature to a lot of these powerhouse teams, because I just think with some of them, they've blown them out of the water. I want to see a real team go up against them and see how they handle that. So we're getting close to the end, halfway through, but let's take a look. We'll see what happens.
Now, Brad, I got to ask you. Now, both of us went to Seminole High School, and Osceola being a rival, and that's coming up. Has there been any shenanigans going on yet? Because I'm pretty used to it. When I played, we had quite a few instances of fields being forked and trees being planted, or even dugouts being covered with fish, all kinds of interesting things.
I haven't heard anything yet. It's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, this game is on Monday. It's going to have different, feelings and everything like that. So I really honestly don't know. Usually that stuff they plan a day in advance, like on a Thursday before it all happens.
Or I wouldn't know anything of that.
No, about them. You wouldn't know anything about that.
What about, I got a question.
Go for it.
What do you mean fields covered in fish? I went to a Catholic school, and we all constantly had at basketball games some jackasses throwing fish out onto the floor, we're mackerel snappers.
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense to me yet. Well, public schools.
Well, one of the big things was they would fork our fields, and especially baseball, they would fork it. They would dig holes into our mound and even put fish on our on our bench or paint it with fresh paint. So that way when you sat
down. Yeah, then they go down to Home Depot and buy just like a little mini tree. And usually what they would do is they plant it in the end zone is what they would do. Or even in baseball field, they would plant it right near the home dugout. So that's one of the big things they would do. It's just simple stuff like that. Nothing too out of control. Like they don't get on the fields and start, they can't stay cars in there anymore. But I remember one thing that happened in high school is that one car was able to get into there and they started doing donuts long, long time ago.
On the field?
On the field. They tried to rip it up. Not a good idea.
No.
Long, long time ago. Let's just be there. And the one thing, one thing I haven't seen in a long time, this was many years ago, and this was actually something that was covered on national TV. The Tonight Show with Jay Leno actually had this. They had the infamous Spider-Man mask streaker.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very famous.
At Seminole High School.
Yeah.
What year would that have been? Back in the 80s?
That was 2013. No. 11 or 12. Actually.
No, it was when I was in high school, I believe. So I think it must have been at least 12, if not 13.
No, because Brett Phillips was a senior that year when that happened.
So then it was 12 or it was.
Yeah, 11 or 12 is when that happened. Yeah. But, I remember, that just went all over online. Everyone was just recording it because what happened is that the guy went across the field, jumped over the fence. At the same time, we're watching Pinellas County's finest try to catch this kid. And all of a sudden.
Butt naked with a Spider-Man mask on.
But the best part is that he got over the last leap of the fence. There was a car waiting for him, and the car drove off with him inside of it.
It was pretty
great getaway.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Bravo, great story. Too bad he didn't have some kind of a sponsor, and too bad it wasn't things didn't go viral in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
He should have put some kind of a message on his on his ASS and his front and back.
Did he end up getting caught, Brad? I don't remember. I know he got away with it for quite a while.
Yeah, he did get caught, actually. I think it was like about 3 days later. One thing that did happen somehow is the cop was able to get the license plate number. They did it. They found out who the one kid was, and they traced it back. And they said, like, look, just tell us who it is.
Was he a student?
Yeah, he was a student at Seminole.
Did he get the old boot-a-roo?
No. I think he got suspended is all that was, and then he came back. So
they should have held a pep rally for him. It should have been
a ticker tape parade for him coming back to school after the suspension.
Absolutely. I mean, he was an urban hero after that. So, and it's still online. Yeah, you can go look it up, and it's still there. But like I said, Jay Leno actually did a skit where he was covering how like certain teams around the world do the best in streaking. He had one, I think, that was with a soccer team in Greece. There was another one, I think it was just a regular football game. And finally, the last one that he showed was the high school football game that we were just talking about, where the kid just streaked the field. And he's Jay Leno's commentating this. He's commentating, oh, look at this. Oh, he makes it over one. Watch the cop. Oh, no, that didn't happen. Oh, wait a minute, one more. Oh, the car is there. And he drives off. It was great. It was just one of those things to watch.
On a serious note, that was great entertainment insert there. I saw this article the other day. For someone coming from Iowa, this absolutely amazes me. The number of high school stars that are now in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the list, I'll just do Tampa schools and NFL rosters. Nelson Aguilar, he's from Berkeley Prep. Aziz Al-Shahir, Hillsboro High. Of course, Andrew Breck. Broncos, Plant, Dane Belton, Giants, went to Jesuit, Anthony Brown, Cowboys, Hillsboro, Zach Carter, Bengals, Hillsboro, oh my gosh, Hillsboro, Charles Hewlett, Browns, Hillsboro, Ray McLeod, 49ers, Sickles, Micah McFadden, Giants, Plant, Chris Moore, Texans, Jefferson, Amani Arawija, the Lions, Gaither, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Titans, Berkeley Prep, Byron Pringle, Bears, Robinson, Isaiah Rogers, Colts, Blake, and Christian Watson, Packers, Plant.
I think you're forgetting one that just happened recently. Brandon Walton.
I got it right
Brandon
here.
Walton. Oh, yeah. Brandon Walton from Seminole.
I only did the first column.
The first column is Walton.
I only did the first column of those.
Brandon Walton, number 73, 6'5", 300 pounds.
Big guy.
He's been making some big changes making some big improvements, I should say, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He played in 66% of the game against the Saints and played for 100% of the snaps against Green Bay. So I'm very excited for him. Glad to see him out there doing well. And hopefully he gets another start tonight.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And there's a handful from Pinellas. We'll talk about them too. Ray and I'll go over that. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this first Saturday of October. In a, you know, we got a lot of serious note to what's taking place in the world of the Sunshine State, and we'll address that, and hopefully the recovery will be sooner than later across the entire state. And our thoughts and prayers are with them. But right now, a little relief, you know, sports and entertainment bring people together, and that's what we try to do down here at the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection each and every Saturday. Positive perspective, Pee-wee's the preps, the pros, and we're going to talk a little pros with Ray Kennedy here in a second. We just got done talking preps and our body armor prep connection, and then we'll continue right now with a little Ben Botham talking a little more baseball. And I do want to make sure we don't pass over the position we're in right now to get in the playoffs. Is it we've got to? You think win 4 out of 5? Ferg thought we need to win 4 out of 5 to have a shot at home field advantage.
That's probably right. I would agree, because right now we're facing off against the Blue Jays, who are very good, and right now I believe we're almost tied in record, if not half a game back.
We're half a game back.
And so it's huge that we clinched the wild card spot last night with a 7-3 win over the Astros. And now going into this, we have to remember that the playoffs bracketing has changed quite a bit. So how does the pro season work? So it's a bracket style with 12 teams, 6 from each league. Before it was 10 teams with the old format. The single game wild card game is gone, and now it's a best of 3 wild card series. So with the seeding, the first seed is the best of the league with the best league record. So that currently would be the Astros. The second seed would be the Yankees, and the third seed would be the Guardians. And then so the fourth fifth and sixth seed, which is the wild card positioning, is all kind of up in the air right
now.
That's
Seattle, Toronto, and us.
Seattle, Toronto, and us. So right now, hopefully, if we went out or at least drop one, we would take the fourth seed. The fourth seed would mean that we would have home field advantage for the wild card game. And the fourth seed would be playing the five seed. So the five seed could either be the Blue Jays or Seattle. And then the sixth seed plays the three seed, which is the Guardians, because the one and two seed, Astros and Yankees, both get a bye week.
Ray, you like this new format?
Yeah, I do. And don't forget now, the Rays got two against the Red Sox, and then we finish up the series versus
we finish against the Red Sox.
We have these last two against the Astros. Right.
The Asterix.
Asterix. Oh, hey.
Yes. I hope we take at least two out of three, if not three out of three.
Right.
But I'm going to be a little bit of a realist here. The Astros have had our number for a good bit of this season. So I'm glad that we took one.
Yeah.
But hopefully we do take two out of three. And I do think that we should be able to sweep the Red Sox, because the Red Sox have been abysmal this season.
Well, don't forget, though, even if we do our part, we still have to depend on the Baltimore Orioles, who've had an up and down season.
Baltimore's really come around, especially if their pitching is absolutely incredible.
They'll have to take two or three from the Blue Jays.
Exactly.
Otherwise, the Blue Jays lock it up with the half game lead.
Exactly. You have Vlad and Bo. I mean, those are your two biggest threats on the Blue Jays. Come on. I mean,
I was at Sunday's game. They went down, and I tell you what, when Bichette got up there on two occasions. Well, Springer had two jacks, and it was the last game. We had a great crowd. The environment was what it should be over there.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, they didn't get a W. But again, I thought about your prediction.
I will
say, these freaking Blue Jays, they're a scary team.
If you do need some MLB futures predictions, you can call me anytime, and I'm more than happy to help you out.
It's so modest.
Fee, yeah. A small fee, and we'll be all good.
Oh, you charge?
Always charging. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ben, geez.
This guy, thank God he's not there with me. he's been in dire straits. But he is, talk about it. Cash for play.
Bottom line guy.
Pay for play. Yeah, this guy.
I asked Ben, I said, who do you like in today's, Rays game? And he says, are you going to be paying with PayPal or do you have another credit card?
I take Zelle, Cash App, Venmo, everything.
Well, see, now you're at the Trop. In most places, it's all just a credit card now. So if they're going to actually have gambling there, or even bookies.
But I will say this. So this is how it's looking right now for the playoff scene.
Be realistic.
So we have the Astros, who are either going to play the Rays or the Guardians. Now, if the Rays, I would personally like to see the Rays playing the Astros instead of the Rays playing the Yankees, because I do think the Astros are going to start fizzling out here. I don't think that they will have the ability to go deep into the postseason right now. That's just a gut feeling. Mm-hmm. That's a gut feeling.
That's called a prayer, pal.
It is a prayer, but it's a gut feeling.
They've got arms, they've got bats.
I can't stand them, but for some reason,
I got a weird feeling in my gut. You can feel it in the knees, like when a storm's coming. I feel like the Rays,
like a storm.
No
more beverages before we start the show. When a storm's coming.
That's called puberty.
My arthritis.
Oh, hey.
All right. Okay.
My arthritis starts to hurt.
I cover the prep show. Are we really going to bring that word up?
All right.
So my arthritis started hurting.
So I'll go down to the 3 and 4 seed here. So Guardians versus Rays or Guardians versus Mariners or Blue Jays versus Rays or Mariners. It's going to end up like that. So let's say the Rays play the Blue Jays. In that instance, you then have the Rays facing the Yankees. Rays face the Yankees. They come out of that. And then that means you have Guardians versus the Mariners. Guardians versus Mariners.
Guardians win.
Mariners are still a little too young. I do like them a lot. I'm very happy for
them. What's the kid's name? The 20-year
J-Rod. J-Rod on the IL.
He's on the IL.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's their offense.
It is. And I will say this for them. I'm very happy for them. First time since 2001 making it to the postseason.
Longest of any pro sports team.
Yep. So very, very happy for them. Congratulations. But I do think this is the end for them. no matter who they face, whether it's Rays versus Mariners or Blue Jays versus Mariners.
Their fan base is ecstatic right now.
Yeah.
Won 21 years. Yeah. I'm thinking Rays fans, we've won the AL East twice in 2020 and 2021. We were in a World Series in 08. We were in a World Series in 2020. These Seattle Mariner fans, 21 years since they made the playoffs.
And we've made the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Yes.
And our fans still suck.
Back to the Griffey Jr. days.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ichiro on the team as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the thing is, we could work angles because you're right. Next 4 days, 5 days, these next five games are going to really determine it. But I'll work it backwards from the AL championship. Okay, who do you want the Rays to face in the AL championship?
Ooh.
And I'd like Ben's prognosis. I'd like to see the Rays and the Yankees in the championship. That would be a great championship.
Come on, Karnak. What are you going to say?
I guess you'd hope. Like I was saying, I had the feeling. Rays, Astros for that game, trying to fight it off. But I do say, if you're looking from a numbers perspective, Rays, Yankees is probably the best bet.
Yeah.
What's the latest on Glasnow? Because that will have
Glasnow.
Is Glasnow going to be available for some type of relief? I can't see him starting him.
Nothing more than relief.
Well, you know, I was going to say this real quick with the Yankees. I mean, they struggled at the beginning of the season. These guys just struggled, and then they came back. All of a sudden, they just got that little extra gas, and they just came back. Anything could happen, obviously, in the postseason. But, you know.
Speed on the bases.
Yep.
They got the George Springer of the world.
If the Blue Jays don't win it all this year, they have a very good possibility of winning it within the next 5 years with how young their team is. If they get some more additions to pitch, I think they're going to be a deadly team for probably the foreseeable future. As long as these guys stay healthy, of course, you know, God willing. But
God willing, yeah.
I do hope that the Rays, a team that has been plagued by injuries, are going to be able to figure some out. I don't think that any of us could have seen this coming halfway through the season before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable that they made it this far. I'm very, very happy and very proud of them to have made it this far.
I'll tell you what, the Red Sox didn't think so bad this year. The Rays would not be looking at a wild card game right now. I could think the Red Sox would for that.
You know what Ben calls them?
Yeah, stinky old Red Sox, man. You got to put them. You got to put them.
Smelly.
Smelly. Well, you got to put them out to wash.
Well, it's funny. You know, you talk about the Astros. I remember one year when they were last in the MLB, and I remember there was shirts that were made, and the name of it was Lastros. I saw that shirt. I'm like, oh man.
But they were tanking.
They were tanking.
That's one of the biggest tank jobs I've seen in my lifetime. It really was. Other than like, you know, going up tank for Tua or whatever that was all about. Yeah. Don't even talk about Tua. Although I'm sure want to. Don't we?
Well, that's a whole nother story. But if we're talking about then the National League, I'd say that's a little more exciting right now in the playoff hunt because you do have the Mets and of course Atlanta playing for that guaranteed spot.
Yeah.
But and then
Mets have surprised me. I'll say that much.
Go
they
Mets.
Really have.
Yeah. And then
go Braves.
You have the Padres who are 89-59, the Phillies 84-72, and the Brewers 84-73. All vying for that last wild card spot. It's going to be tough to see what happens there. Where it all ends, I'm really hoping the Mets take it out of the Braves, just because I'm a sucker for the Mets. They had Casey Stengel as their manager all the way back in the '60s.
1,000 years ago.
Yeah, but still.
The reality now is I don't want to see any of these enormous payroll teams successful.
Yeah.
I'll support anybody who has a lower payroll than the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees.
Okay. That's not a bad take.
When you have Steinbrenner money supporting a lot of stuff, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see results. I mean, you drive.
What do you think Cohen's doing? What do you think the freaking ownership of the Dodgers is doing?
What happened to Jake DeGrom? Ooh. Ben, tell me about this. Jake DeGrom went from going to be the best pitcher in baseball and a couple of injuries over 2 years, and now he's about to wash himself out of the league.
Last night he had a weird card. He had 11 strikeouts and 3 solo jacks. Did you see those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the Mets also, they've had their injuries just like us. I mean, I think that comes from, you know, the lockout. A lot of these guys didn't quite have the time to recover.
Yeah.
And that's still coming back to haunt these guys. And unfortunately, I guess I don't know if they don't have their own trainers or if they're too afraid of, you know, testing positive for steroids because they're taking ringworm medicine. I don't know. They don't have
Padres reference.
They don't have guys to watch
riding
over their
motorcycle,
back.
And we won't get into the Sarns discussion there on that one. But
riding their motorcycle, which they should not, in every contract should state that. All right, we're going to take a break, guys. I guess he's going to give us 5 more minutes to take a break. So let's talk about where we're going as far as opportunities to get Glasnow back. Have you heard anything on that?
I haven't heard much. I know that he is going to be.
Because Sugar Shane did not look good on Sunday.
No, but we still do have Rasmussen.
Yeah.
Rasmussen is looking phenomenal. He's going to be our guy that will take us to hopefully
the promised land.
The promised land with the World Series, and to save the team.
Now you are intoxicated.
To save the team here in St. Petersburg, I do think the Rays need a World Series win, either this season, next season, before something happens. You don't think so?
They're that close to getting a World Series ring on 2 occasions, and which is okay. If you're a Mariners fan, you know how many franchises would love to have the success the Rays have had, and still be they'd still be supporting them
if they get a World
That's
Series.
That's a ridiculous
they can't.
Statement.
If they
man.
Get a World Series, they can't.
They got to have a World Series. They we're not to. Keeping you.
Everything about
no. I'm not saying we're not going to keep them. We want to keep them here, but I feel like it's hard for the ownership to leave after a World Series, and it's hard.
Well, how about 4 consecutive playoff appearances
with one of the lowest payrolls in baseball?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of the
100 wins. No, that's ridiculous.
Everything about the Rays remaining in St. Petersburg beyond 2027 is tied up in the 50% of the development rights that gets from 80 acres across the street, which is going to be worth $1 to $2 billion if done right.
If done right, yeah. Well, I've always said this: if they're going to rebuild Tropicana Field, they need to lower the amount of seats in there. I think that would help make it a field stadium.
Sounds like an Al Lang Stadium, then, what you're hearing, Brad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, honestly, I mean, every time you watch a game on there, you know, one of the reasons that it doesn't have a following at times, is because you had so many fans down here from other teams, Red Sox, Yankees, et cetera. But then the stadium is too big. There's so many seats there. And that's why at times it doesn't look like it's sold out.
Well, and the Upper Bowl, they cut that off for 2 years now.
And I'm not discounting what Ben said. I think what he's saying is that you got to cheat the best team in baseball, the champion. How can the city let them go? But again, if Sternberg owns the ball and it feels like the game,
that's what it's about. So it's not about the World Series.
But
it's about his bottom line, and he's a businessman, and he knows that it would be nice to put that.
Sure.
Put that pendant up there inside.
But the city
have a little ring. Have a little ring on his finger. That's what
St. Petersburg can justify spending a lot more money if the team has a World Series and has it here in St. Petersburg. I know that's not right. That shouldn't be the reason why they're staying here. But it's a lot harder to tell taxpayers, we've never won a World Series. I know it's great, and I'm not going to discount how we've been 4 consecutive years to the playoffs. But that's 4 consecutive times we've lost.
Title,
but don't forget, we've lost.
But don't forget, what's happening right now is Mayor Ken Welch in St. Petersburg is telling Stu Sternberg, you already get 50% of development rights across the street. So if you want to stay here, you got to pony up money to build that stadium.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the city of St. Petersburg, they're going to get 50% of development. And if Sternberg leaves, they get 100%. And the fact of the matter is, it still comes back to Stu Sternberg. Does he want to have a team in paradise in 10 years that can still sell for $3 billion? Or will he go to the highest bidder? I think it stays here, but there's got to be some talk started.
Exactly. I mean, really. But I will say one thing. I know we've all talked about this. If they do rebuild that stadium and keep it here, fingers crossed, they do have to have a retractable roof, do something. Because I think people forget, even though it's Florida, summers are unbearable here sometimes. I mean, come on. You have to.
You can't have an open-air stadium here.
Absolutely not. And that's not even on the table.
Nope.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Ray Kennedy and Ray and Joe. And then we're going to, I was looking at you to probably.
Cup of Ray.
And we're going to talk a little Bucks. We'll look back at the Bucks Packers, which I was excited about.
Oh, I know you were.
And then we'll talk about tomorrow night's game at 8:20, and that is, of course, the Bucks and the Chiefs. A repeat of Super Bowl 2020. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes, 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 please. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'll take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Visit RadioSt.Pete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSt.Pete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSt.Pete.com is where local music lives.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProPure Bait Super Scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back as we wind things down here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this October 1st. Beautiful day down here, 13th and Central. And, of course, just recently just rated the number one sports bar for 2022
Yes, sir.
In the Tampa Bay area. And congratulations to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Come on down today, 95 televisions. All the collegiate action is available. And tonight, of course, important game. As the Rays and is it Rays and Astros again tonight? Yeah.
Yeah, Rays versus Astros tonight. Of course, yeah, Rays versus Astros once again tonight. Hopefully we take another dub. Should be a good game. We have McClanahan, who's 12-7 with a 2.51 ERA or a 2.51 ERA, versus Javier with a 10-9 this season with a 2.65 ERA.
Wow. All right, now it's time for a cup of Ray.
Oh, I like this segment.
There you go. Do you? No. All right, brother. So let's go back a week.
Let's skip
to make me smile a little bit. You have to admit, we're talking the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Bucks for all of you Packer fans out there. And people say, well, you're from down here now. You should be talking Bucks. There are so many Packer fans down here. They're smiling as I bring up this topic.
Yes, they are.
But when the Packers were on the one-yard line and going in for the score, I thought this is going to be a freaking romp. Yes. Didn't you?
Yeah. It was looking like a runaway at that point. And, you know, the Bucks have a way of staying in the games. You know, even when they lost to KC back in the first game of 2020, they were down 20 points at halftime, came back, made it a three-point game. But Green Bay, they were on a roll. It looked like it was going to be over right then.
But I will say this. If anybody wanted me to bet right now, by the end of the season, who's going to have a more successful and be further, barring no more injuries? The Bucks, because the chemistry for the Green Bay Packers will take some time. You're bringing all these veterans back off the IR. So I'll jump on the Bucks bandwagon again.
I wish I could totally agree with you. Last week, the Bucks got out-coached. Matt LaFleur coached circles around this Buccaneers team, and the Packers came into town, and it was a very hot, muggy, humid day there in Tampa Bay at Raymond James Stadium. But at the end of the day, the Buccaneers went off the field looking like the team that was visiting from Green Bay, because we were the ones exhausted. They out-coached us, they outplayed us, and they got the game. They won it.
Well, Kevin Lazard, who I know well, his father, he scored that touchdown in the Packers were feeling that heat. He was hurtling quite a bit on the sidelines.
That video.
That was Kevin Lazard. God. Great kid. He was a free agent, undrafted from Iowa State, and his father played for a couple of teams, played in arena football. Anyway.
But mind you, in the first half, the Bucs defense was on the field 28 of 30 minutes. Not literally, I'm improvising a bit here, but that's serious. That's what happened. Green Bay was dinking and dunking, and they wore that defense out. So even at the end of the game, even though the Bucs still come back, could have got a two-pointer, not related to the defense. Truth of the matter is, by the end of the first half, that Buccaneers defense was already looking for the showers. They stayed in it, but they were tired.
I mean, Tom Brady hasn't looked very good this whole season. He's been struggling. I don't know if it's the Giselle stuff or just age finally catching up to him.
It's the offensive line. But, I mean, you know,
definitely the offensive line.
He's dancing in the pocket like he's out there on Who Wants or So You Think You Can Dance, and he still gets rid of the ball. Plus, he's got two rookie tight ends. You had Kate Otten last week was dealing with his mom's death, and you got Kyle Rudolph, who the Bucs signed as a big free agent supposedly to replace Gronkowski. The only reason why he sees the field last week is a replacement for the rookie Kate Otten. So, you know, there's a lot of things personnel-wise going on. But
offensive line, 100%. You take a look at, you know, they've got the youngster from Notre Dame, which I love seeing him play, but he wasn't ready.
Well, he was playing Kenny Clark, the nose guard for Green Bay, and that guy, you know, Kainsey still held his own. But still, the fact of the matter is Tom's been in this league, 73 years now? So he realizes that these veterans across the line that are coming up against three rookies and a guy off the street, kidding. But he knows that there's going to be a change. And Tom does not want to see his 23 illustrious year career end by getting to it and carried off the field. And let's be honest with you, the way that defensive line was playing last week, I hated to use that reference, but you know.
That was not cool.
No.
I'm sorry.
I don't care. I'm not a Miami Dolphin fan. His father is.
Oh, I like the Dolphins.
It's not going to be Rudy.
Broke my heart.
They have a great quarterback, though, in the wing. So for Miami coming up, if they, you know, it's that rookie that they just picked up.
I thought you were going to say Teddy Bridgewater. I was going to slap you.
Definitely not Teddy Bridgewater.
No, please.
No, yeah. they kept that kid that I saw him play in the preseason over there at Raymond James against the Dolphins in week 1, and he is a good, solid quarterback.
So you got to be impressed with the performance of playoff Lenny so far. But you discussed it, and many people have discussed it. If he's going to be ready for the playoffs, they're overusing him right now.
Right now, yeah.
They don't have enough weapons on offense.
Again, Keyshawn Vaughn's your third rounder. You got, I don't even know about Giovanni, but Giovanni Bernard and the other
there
guy.
You go. Look at that.
Shade White. Stephen Shade told me that one. But, you know, but the only thing is Lenny's the best running back to pick up the blitz, and it circles back to that offensive line again. And really, at the end of the day, it's all about winning games, but more importantly, it's all about keeping Tom Brady upright so you can continue to win games. And so you're going to see this Buccaneers team start to get healthy. And that's why in the long run, I think we'll see the veteran leadership and all will play out. But Green Bay last week, the way LaFleur had them playing and Rodgers, the way he played within himself, looked like they might be back. They're making another case to go there in the NFC North.
Well, thank God we got my University of Iowa Hawkeye, Tristan Wirfs on that line to solidify that side for sure.
He's holding it down. Love this kid. Love Tristan Wirfs.
Okay, so tomorrow, 8:20 kickoff. What were your thoughts if they were going to move it to, of all places, first of all, Minneapolis? Because of obviously what's taking place with Hurricane Ian.
Right.
That would have been that. I don't know about that move.
Well, you know, the thing was,
wouldn't they go to Arrowhead?
Well, and the thing is, I spoke with a league insider. I'm kidding. I just made this up. No, I'm kidding. But the reason why they would have went to Minneapolis.
Which part are you kidding about?
Well, I'm kidding about kidding. But the thing about it is that if you take the logistics of moving this entire game, the broadcast, the cameras, the teams, everybody, the last thing you can do is move it to an outside stadium anywhere. Because wouldn't it just be the cat's meow or the worst thing ever if you moved it to Arrowhead, but Arrowhead got hit with a cold front or a rain front, and then you had to get that game canceled? So it literally would have been like the NFL strikes out twice. They go to Minneapolis because
protecting themselves.
Right. Well, because it's an indoor stadium.
And it's a beautiful stadium. There wouldn't be anybody there. Probably 15,000.
I don't know, though. The baby goat versus 20, the goat? You'd have Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Some people would go out. You make the tickets $30 each. I'll bet you put a few decades in there.
All right. We got 5 minutes to close. Anything else that Ray has seen of late that you want to elaborate on?
No, just a rematch of 2020 against Super Bowl 55. It's going to be They're going to need to see this Buccaneers offense control the clock a little more. You let this defense stay rested, then this defense will show you why they're one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL.
Okay, your NFL analysis this point in the season across the league, what are you seeing?
Biggest surprises?
Yeah.
Detroit's playing tough. I say that because I know about the Packers. The Raiders 0-3, Davante Adams and Derek Carr. It's not as big of a hookup as we thought.
And of course, Al Davis, in the memory of him.
Yes.
Mark Davis.
Yes, sir.
Mark Davis has already had a conversation with the coach 3 games in. So he's just like his old man.
Can
you imagine the Steinbrenner and Davis combination to work for him?
Can you imagine? That's why Mike Mayock and John Gruden before John Gruden did his stuff, but that didn't work. And of course, you know, look what happened. Tom Brady was ready to go out there with Rob Gronkowski, and they called it off. Then John Gruden called it off last second. So that's a team right now. They're still in a decade of dysfunction.
And what about the Eagles?
They're 5 years removed from winning the Super Bowl. This team, Roseman, puts together a great team. Let's be honest. The Philadelphia Eagles, they've got a lot of great players at a lot of great positions, and Jalen Hurts looks like he's the guy.
I think they're a fake team. They're frauds. they're fake good. They're not there.
What part of them? Like,
I just don't think that they face, you know, high enough caliber teams. I mean, I think the Dolphins proved themselves when they beat Buffalo. Now I'm not too sure because Tua's gone. Probably for the whole season, if not longer.
Oh, I doubt it. The whole season.
Really? You don't think so?
Let me ask you guys real quick. Last week, Tua was concussed when he walked to the sideline dizzy and almost falls over and goes to one knee.
He looked like Rocky Balboa.
Rocky
at least went back into the ring and went all the way.
Well, Mickey had to cut his eye, but no, that's beside the point. But yeah, he was concussed last week.
A big thing is that Tua was saying it was his back and his neck, and I think that goes a long way into what the physician is treating him as. You know, it's not like he got, you know, by a baseball hit right to the dome.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, and my back's locked up. Mike, maybe yours has. My back is locked up to where I actually went down and all. But not only did he go down, he went down sideways stumbling. And if he would have been given a field sobriety test last week, he wouldn't have passed
it.
No. All right, we got 3 minutes. Any other surprises in the NFL
that you've seen? Just the AFC West isn't as strong as we thought. It turns out that Hackett and Russell Wilson didn't just join up. Of course, Garoppolo back playing. Good thing the 49ers kept him.
That's a good thing for them.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going to – I always thought that they talk about the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL from a quarterback perspective.
Yeah, no respect at all.
None at all. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if Tom Brady does retire next year and they still have Trey Lance
out there,
Jimmy
G. Jimmy Garoppolo.
And I'll tell you what, we'll know more. I hope that maybe I can join you guys next week because this is the fourth week. It's the first quarter of the season, even though there's 17 games now. I think after this weekend, we'll start to see a little more idea of which teams are the real teams and which teams, like you said, Ben, are just kind of playing.
And the Buffalo Bills kind of stunned me getting beat because I thought they were just going to roll on everybody this year.
Dolphins, that was a huge.
But it's the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing that they... All right. Well, Brad Richardson did a superb job with his prep connection.
Well, always I do a superb job. What are you talking about?
Oh,
I mean, I got to carry Ben every so often.
You said I had an ego.
Yeah. These Seminole boys.
Me and Ray had to carry Ben every so often.
They're not short on proud of performance.
I went there for a year. I'm a Seminole Middle High School for 1 year guy.
My God.
It's funny how everyone
you guys
goes
get
1 year.
The Warhawks, the War Jocks.
The War Jocks?
We're the Warhawks. Yeah. The Mighty Warhawks down there at Seminole High School. You know, the Brinker Field for baseball, at least. And then Seminole Middle, what are they?
No. They were Bowder was the Braves, and then Seminole was the I can't think of what it was. Long time ago, Benny. Long time ago.
Nobody cares.
Exactly.
All right, my friend. Superb job with all your research on where we're at in baseball. Exciting times for a baseball historian like yourself. A lot of history going to be made, and hopefully, Ray's continue. Ray, how do people get a hold of you?
You know what? Hopefully, anytime I can get on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and Cup of Ray now, it's mostly on my own Facebook and YouTube page, but just locking it down, and I appreciate y'all for listening.
All right, my friend. All right, fellas, it's the stream team here on Saturday for Brad Richardson, Ben Botham, Ray Kennedy, Joe Boudreau, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls. And, of course, I want to thank Wayne Hogan. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. All the people in Florida, victims of Hurricane Ian, and be sure to have a championship week.